Welcome to the Freedom Line, the podcast for the Center for Individual Freedom, where we meet nonsense with common sense. Here's your host, Renee Giacchino.
Thank you for tuning into the Freedom Cast. My name is Renee Giacchino. I'm corporate counsel for the Center for Individual Freedom. Joining us again is Jonathan Butcher. Jonathan is the Will Skillman Senior Research Fellow in Education Policy at the Heritage Foundation. He joins us today to first talk initially about a recent piece that he authored that you can find at heritage.org. The piece is titled, No Students, Your Encampment is Not an Exercise of Free Speech. Jonathan, welcome back to the program. Thank you so much for joining me.
Great to be with you.
So if you would, I mean, I know that it's an ever-changing landscape. You know, we've seen lots of things happening on college campuses, including some of America's most prestigious university campuses in recent weeks. Everything from, you know, the pro-Hamas agitators fighting with police, students and others barricading themselves in university buildings, closing down campuses, now forced commencement cancellations, and perhaps worst of all, physically impeding or harming Jewish students. A lot has been going on over the last couple of weeks, and we know that, you know, looking back decades, student protests on college campuses are nothing new. But let's start with, how are they different from even going back to the Vietnam era?
Well, sure. What's happening is not just a set of protests, right? It's one thing to listen and be heard, speak on a public area of a public college campus, okay? And that is protected speech, protected expression. It's another thing to set up camp on a lawn on a college campus property where there are rules, right, and prohibitions about, you know, certain structures being set up in areas of campus for the purpose of safety, of the flow of traffic, of any number of reasons that, you know, universities do in fact have the responsibility and the legal right to maintain order on a college campus. What these students are doing is violating the code of conduct, okay, when they pitch tents in an area that is where there are restrictions on setting up a camp. Certainly when they commit violence, they are not only violating school rules, but now you're violating the law. And add on top of that, right, the racial context here where there are clear lines of discrimination and harassment and intimidation, particularly of students who are Jewish. So let's be clear. This is not just speech. This is clearly violent activity that warrants, in many cases, law enforcement attention.
So, you know, I think that these college student encampments, you know, some people will say there's a fine line between free speech and First Amendment violations. And I think they're making this line a lot clearer for us. I think as you've described and as you write about in your recent piece, you know, and just alluded to, there is a big difference between, you know, action and words. And what they're doing here, you know, the distinction between speech and action seems to be punctuated on many of these campuses. Jonathan, does it matter when we talk about free speech, whether it's happening at a public or a private university? Does that make a difference?
It absolutely does. I mean, the First Amendment is going to apply to public college campuses. The same rules will not apply in on private colleges unless they choose themselves to set up their own rules that protect expression in the same manner, right, as the First Amendment of the Constitution. You know, I would add, too, I think radicals want us to think there's a fine line. They want us to think that, you know, it's really kind of close here on this whole free speech issue. But that's just not true, right? In model legislation that I have developed with the Goldwater Institute and have advocated for and researched while at the Heritage Foundation, we strongly support the ability of anyone who is lawfully present on a college campus to listen and be heard in a public area of campus, right? No free speech zones, right? And all of campus should be a free speech zone. No deplatforming, no shout downs. But clearly, if you want to get a sign and march outside of the building, you know, as long as if you are lawfully there and if you are doing it within the rules of safety that campus has set up, which, by the way, should be the least restrictive means necessary in order to accomplish that, then, you know, those expressive rights should be protected. But I think what's going on now, and frankly, this does go for both public and private campuses when students commit violence. I mean, now we're saying, hey, wait a minute, this is not a campus issue any longer, right? I mean, when they are damaging buildings and spray painting, you know, like we saw at UCLA, if you see pictures or videos from what happened at UCLA, it was arson. I mean, that's, you know, plain and simple. And so law enforcement, you know, most assuredly should be involved early and often.
So it's interesting because you've referenced twice being lawfully present. And I think that, you know, a lot of folks may be surprised to have learned that there were actually professional agitators involved on some of these college campuses with these encampments and the violence that ensued. And they are not current students. And they are there as, quote, exactly, you know, what the name seems to profess, as professional agitators. How do you enforce campus rules against people like that who allegedly are not lawfully present?
Yeah, I think that you're exactly right. I mean, I think the numbers I heard out of Columbia was something like 40% of those who were arrested turned out to not be students or even faculty. So I think that there are, you know, these sort of Antifa types, right, on campuses that are trying to be disruptive and taking advantage. They're really taking advantage of the situation is what they're doing. So I think campuses should understand that they are in over their skis when these individuals are committing violence on campus, and they need to immediately involve law enforcement. I think for too long, college campuses have decided they would be judge, jury, and, you know, to use a poor turn of phrase, executioner, right? They would try to cover this whole thing themselves, and that's turned into a sort of kangaroo courts on college campuses where they just have not handled due process well. And frankly, the Biden administration has now announced a rule that is going to severely curtail the due process protections for students on campus. So colleges must be involving law enforcement when it comes to activity, whether it be student or these, you know, outside rioters, so that, you know, law enforcement should be handling this. Colleges should be dealing with those under their charge, and they're in their attempts to promote safety. You know, they need to call in the police.
Our guest is Jonathan Butcher, Senior Policy Research Fellow in Education Policy at the Heritage Foundation. Jonathan, has the mob won now that with all of these cancellations of commencements and, you know, I know that many of the college campuses, you know, their terms are coming to an end, students are leaving. Do we expect that to perhaps be the end of this, or what is your crystal ball showing?
Well, considering that, you know, we had the protests in the 60s, right, the Vietnam War, civil rights protests, which affected campuses, you know, well into the 1970s, and then you go into even just over the past 10 or 15 years, there have been shout-downs and more issues related to riots and free speech, basically tied to critical race theory and racial favoritism on campus. That kind of sums up what's behind all of that. And now you have the Hamas terrorism that has for some reason found sympathizers on campus. Those things going on. I don't think that it will. This will be the end, right, of protests in general. Do I think it's the end now? It's hard to say. I mean, probably, because we're headed into the summer. And so I think, you know, campuses are going to quiet down because everybody's going to leave. Do I think the rioters have won? No. I actually think that more and more Americans understand that they are paying for these, quote, loan forgiveness plans that the Biden administration is proposing. They're really loan transfers. And this is what they're funding, right? This is what they're paying for when students are rioting and forcing colleges to put classes online and canceling graduations. Besides the fact that Americans, we do want to go about our lives, and we need some sort of order here, right? People are interested in being able to pay their rent, pay for groceries, and understand that when they go outside for a walk, they're safe. And when they see things like this that disturb safety, right, that give them the idea that they are not safe, No one is going to stand for that, right? I mean, Americans will not let that stand for long.
So we've seen the universities dealing with this, obviously, in varying ways, significantly varying manners. We've got, you know, the Ben Sass, the president of the University of Florida, writing an op-ed last week. The adults are still in charge at the University of Florida at the other end of the spectrum. I mean, we know that there are the, you know, the UCLAs, the Columbia University, and those. Which trend have you of late seen more of? Are the universities continuing to cave to the demands of the anti-Israel protesters, or do you think they've, you know, come around and are going to start standing their ground a little more?
Well, I think you make a great distinction here, because there is a bit of a divide, right? Some of the Ivies in particular, more competitive or selective institutions like Northwestern, have been giving in to some of the demands. And whereas schools in Florida and Texas and elsewhere, they called in the police early. They said, we're not going to stand for this. And so, you know, I think people are now sort of looking at the state schools, right, which, by the way, have pretty competitive honors colleges that deliver, you know, pretty good bang for your buck there. And so I think people are looking at these very expensive institutions and thinking, you know, maybe that's not where I want my child to go. Maybe they won't be safe if they go there. And to give you a bit of a sneak peek in something that I'm writing now, some years ago, so over the past decade, there was a period when there were these shout-downs on campuses. People may remember Middlebury. They may remember Evergreen State up in Washington State, which was shut down because of a professor who was chased out of the classroom. And lawmakers began adopting policies that reinforced free speech. However, despite advice, many of them did not include a requirement that universities consider suspension or expulsion when students are violent, when they shout down someone, when they forcibly, you know, restrict someone's speech. And perhaps if they had done that then, those who are rioting now might have second thoughts, right? They might have had second thoughts if they had seen that some students had been suspended or expelled for, you know, deplatforming an invited, you know, lecturer. Now that MIT, among others, is saying that they are going to suspend students based on their actions. MIT is one. I think another might be, I think those at Princeton might have been another. But regardless, now they're talking about it. I mean, now they realize, okay, you know, this is a set of consequences we probably should have had for a long time.
And I think that it goes, you know, we're hearing, you know, rumblings as well of it going well beyond that to even the impact that something like this could have in the future on someone's employment. I mean, we've certainly seen it impact, you know, college contributions, you know, the funding to colleges. And as you talked about, it's got parents thinking, maybe rethinking even the function of higher education and the funding of higher education and these student loan bailouts. But now we've even got employers, I think, coming into the mix and you know, maybe looking, you know, at opportunities there to say, you know what, no, we don't need you agitator in our business either.
Well, sure. And I've seen federal judges who have made announcements that they're not going to hire clerks from some of these Ivies in particular.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, that's particularly notable, right? I mean, law school is not cheap. And, you know, students want to be able to graduate and do something significant with, you know, a law degree. And when immediately you have judges saying, you know, look, this is not the kind of person that I want from that institution, based in large part on the policies that that institution abided by, I think that says something to students. That, look, the adults on campus need to act like adults, right? Act like adults. Set reasonable consequences when students violate the law. Be prepared to call in law enforcement and be firm, right? These are young people who you are crippling. You are crippling them if you allow them to break the rules and not face any sort of repercussions.
So let me go back to one other point that you made earlier, and when we were talking about, you know, the sort of the end of the semester, college campuses becoming a little more quiet. What do you think these protests might mean for this summer's national conventions, particularly the Democratic National Convention in Chicago?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are looking at that and sort of thinking, you know, thinking back to 40 or more years ago of, you know, riots at, in Chicago. I think that, you know, it is, this is the way that the radical left has chosen to try to intimidate those who disagree with them. Again, not all on the left, and but there are clearly radicals who are interested in Marxist ideas. They have made their position plain on terrorists and Hamas. So this is the type of behavior that they exercise. So, you know, I think that local officials, right, so county leaders, mayors, even governors, should be looking at what's happening on these campuses and be ready to say, we will stop this immediately. Like, we will not let this escalate. People need to understand that we have taxpayers in this state who are responsible members of our communities. And those communities are what keep our state and our country healthy, right? Healthy families make for healthy communities, which makes for a healthy nation. And if we threaten that, we are, you know, jeopardizing not only this form of government that we hold dear, but also people's lives.
We have been talking with Jonathan Butcher, Senior Policy Research Fellow in Education Policy at the Heritage Foundation. You can follow him at heritage.org. Jonathan, any parting thoughts?
I think that it's a shame for what's happened to the young people at some of these colleges where graduation has been canceled. I think that, you know, now for those places like Columbia and even Harvard and Emerson and elsewhere that allow these protests to go on, I think, you know, parents who are sending their kids off to school now, they need to look at these examples and say, this is not the place where I want my child to be. And I think that college leaders, they may see this, and I think they already are in the enrollment figures that we're seeing come in now.
I think until it hits their pocketbook, some of them don't care to see it or turn a blind eye, but that remains to be seen. And there's lots of ways, like you said, enrollment being down and or contributions being down. So we'll continue to watch that. And Jonathan, we'll continue to watch for more of your writings on this issue. Our guest has been Jonathan Butcher, Research Fellow in Education Policy at the Heritage Foundation. Thank you so much for your time again. We greatly appreciate it.